Good morning, Athens. It's 9:08. That's the time. Our date is 9:11. It's a Monday, folks. And we got a free-for-all. I'm Dave Palmer. Don's here, too. Don Hobart. It's foggy outside. Use those headlights and, of course, remember to turn them off when you get to where you're going. Ah, yes, Monday, September 11th. And good morning, folks. Welcome. Don, good morning.
Good morning.
And let's see here. Today, a free-for-all. Tomorrow as well. And let's see, I think on Wednesday, we're going to talk about the United Seniors of Athens. Joyce Lewis, the director of that organization, and our Athens Senior Center and all that sort of thing. And on Thursday, Andy Stone, who's our service safety director for the city of Athens. And mercy, that's such an important position. So that's what we've got this week at this point. All right. Let's see, looking ahead, let's see, we've got, next week we'll be talking about the Albany Festival and Little Wings Relief Works, okay, and maybe some other things too, so, but that's what we've got at the moment. In fact, looking 2 weeks ahead, one of the things we're going to talk about is, you know, how to keep your yard in great shape. And, you know, you can hire it done, of course. And, but, you know, if it's one of those things you enjoy doing or would like to do, we'll try to learn some things about that. So that's 2 weeks from now. All right. Good morning. And for that matter, how to prepare for the wintertime for your yard, too, right? We'll probably have this topic as a spring item, but this is a fall item we're working on now. Well, on this day, different historical events, as we often do when we're having a free-for-all. The year 1297, the Battle of Stirling Bridge. Scottish rebel William Wallace defeats the English. Yeah, that was a big deal. Year 1297. On this date of September 11th, but the year 1609... expulsion order announced against the, let's see if I can say this, Moriscos of Valencia, which was the beginning of the expulsion of all of Spain's Moriscos. I'm not sure I've seen that term before, but history isn't my strongest topic. But anyway, so 1609 on this date. Then in the year 1697, the Battle of Zenta. Forces of Prince Eugene of Savoy defeat the Turks, ending the Ottoman control of large parts of Central Europe. Jumping ahead, let's see, about 11 years to the year 1708, when on this date, the Great Northern War, Charles the 12th of Sweden, stops his march to conquer Moscow outside of Molniesk, marking the turning point in the war. Jumping ahead almost 300 years to the year 2001, two passenger planes hijacked by the Al-Qaeda terrorists crash into the New York's World Trade Towers, causing the collapse of both and deaths of 2,606 people. Of course, I was alive for that. I remember it very clearly. Wow, that was something. All right, 2001 on this date. Terrorists hijack, wait a minute, that's a duplicate, isn't it? It is. Okay, that's, we just see here. Now, this says it a little different.
Because this okay, is the one that crashed
into the
Pentagon.
One, the Pentagon. Yeah. Okay, now I get it. Well, so we had the World Trade Center towers. Two passenger planes hit that. And then on the same day, terrorists also hijack a passenger plane and crash it into the Pentagon, that causing the deaths of 125 additional people. And then, lest we forget, once again, on this date in 2001, the attempt by passengers and crew of United Airlines Flight 93 to retake control of their hijacked plane from terrorists causes the plane to crash in Pennsylvania. That, I think, was in a farm field, and it killed all 64 people who were aboard that plane. Yeah, that was a hellish day, wasn't it? We had World Trade Center, the Pentagon, and that other plane that the passengers tried to retake control, but it didn't work, and they crashed in Pennsylvania. All right. Let's see here. Famous birthdays. Don, we always need your help here. Let's see. The first one. I think I have these in order. The first one would be D.H. Lawrence. His initials D.H. and then the last name Lawrence. Born on this date in 1885. He went on to pass in 1930. Mr. Lawrence.
The D.H. stands for David Herbert, and he was an English writer, novelist, short story writer, poet, and essayist. His modernist work reflects on modernity, social alienation, and industrialization, while championing sexuality, vitality, and instinct. Several of his novels, Sons and Lovers, The Rainbow, Women in Love, and Lady Chatterley's Lover, were the subject of censorship trials for their radical portrayals of sexuality and use of explicit language.
All right. The next person, first name starts with O, but I don't know what it is, but it's O. Henry. Now, wasn't that a candy bar or something like that and along over the years? Anyway.
I think so.
O. Henry, and he was born on this date in 1862. He died in 1910. O. Henry. What's the O stand for? Do we know?
Doesn't stand for anything because it was just a pen name. His real name was William Sidney Porter.
Oh.
And he was an American writer known primarily for his short stories, though he also wrote poetry and nonfiction. His works include The Gift of the Magi, The Duplicity of Hargraves, and The Ransom of Red Chief, as well as the novel Cabbages and Kings.
Well, both these first two people, writers and some of their pieces I'm familiar with. All right, next we have, much more recently, let's see here, Theodore W. Adorno, who was born on this date in 1903, and he passed in 1969. Mr. Adorno.
He was a German philosopher, sociologist, psychologist, musicologist, and composer. I just lost it.
Oh, you, I see. You're on a computer.
Yeah.
And the screen switched. Okay. Well, we don't have to wait.
No.
Okay. And the last of our famous birthdays that occurred on this date, the year was 1917. Ferdinand Marcos. And Mr. Marcos, as I recall, President Marcos, Maybe I'm wrong. Anyway, died in 1989, but he was born on this date in 1917. Ferdinand Marcos.
He was a Filipino politician, lawyer, dictator, and kleptocrat who was the 10th president of the Philippines from 1965 to 1986. He ruled under martial law from 1972 until 1981 and kept most of his martial law powers until he was deposed in 1986, branding his rule as constitutional authoritarianism under his Kilusang Bagong Lupinan, which stands for the New Society Movement.
As is customary when we're having free-for-alls, our list also includes a couple of famous deaths. And we have two to mention today. Cornelis de Houtman. This was quite some time ago. He was born in 1565, but he passed on this date in 1599. Mr. Houtman.
He was a Dutch merchant seaman who commanded the first Dutch expedition to the East Indies. Mm. Although the voyage was difficult and yielded only a modest profit, Houtman showed that the Portuguese monopoly on the spice trade was vulnerable.
Okay. And I'm not sure I'm going to say this last name perfectly, but the next famous death is that is Muhammad Ali Jinnah. J-I-N-N-A-H. Jinnah is how I'm going with. Anyway, he was born in 1876. He died on this date in 1948. Mr. Jinnah.
He was a barrister, politician, and the founder of Pakistan. He served as the leader of the India Muslim League from 1913 until the inception of Pakistan on August 14th, 1947, and then as the Dominion of Pakistan's first Governor General until his death.
Right, Pakistan. That finally popped for me for a moment. Okay, let's see here. On this date of September 11th, I'm not sure about this story. We'll jump into it and see if it makes more sense. They go on to say the plot behind Michelangelo's Sistine Chapel masterpiece. Michelangelo's work on 12 apostles, started on this day, was abandoned after a call from Rome, which led to the magnificent painting of the Sistine Chapel. You know, they did include a printing of those two hands reaching for each other. Very famous in the Sistine Chapel. But the rest of this story, I'm not real sure about. But certainly Michelangelo's work was remarkable. Okay, let's see. What else do we have here? I guess that's good enough. So we did the famous birthdays and the famous deaths. I have other things, of course, to share, and Don does too. But I did come across this one report today, which I guess I hadn't heard a great deal about, or at least I don't recall talking much about it. According to reports, over 200 ships are stuck in traffic at a global shipping bottleneck down in the Panama Canal. Now, I know things have been tough down there, but it's now a backup of 200 ships. The reason is the country's current drought that limits the number of ships that can sail through. This is having a serious impact on the global supply chain and will impact delivery of products and goods to America and other parts of the world, both imports and exports. Now, they say roughly 32 transits can pass through the canal, down from a typical 36. Vessels are waiting on both the Atlantic and Pacific sides of the canal right now. And some have been waiting for over 20 days. I just thought that was interesting, and it caught my eye this morning, so I thought I would share it with you. And it's really a continuation of something we have mentioned before, of course. Let's see here. In the need to know category, I hope you have heard about this deadly earthquake in Morocco. It was a 6.8 magnitude earthquake that struck the North African country of Morocco early Saturday, 2 days ago. So far, 2,100 people have been, I'll say, identified as deaths. But officials are warning the death toll would likely rise as rescue teams search through a number of mountain villages. This earthquake was felt as far north as Portugal. The quake struck in the High Atlas mountain range, which is roughly 50 miles south of the city of Marrakesh, with tremors felt throughout the western half of the country. While intense quakes are rare in that region, it is believed to be the strongest in the region in 120 years. The country sits just south of the boundary between the Eurasian and African tectonic plates. A number of historic buildings were damaged, including the 12th century mosque built during the Berber period in North Africa. Officials said many of the mud and brick buildings in villages were susceptible to damage, with the quake striking at 11 p.m. local time when many families were at home. I have seen some photographs. I suspect most of you out there have as well. It got clobbered. Very sad. Well, let's see. I guess we can talk about sports for a moment. Goff, right? Not the game, the woman, Coco Gauff. She won the women's singles title at the U.S. Open in New York Saturday, defeating top-ranked Belisarian Arina Kabalenka. And she did it in three sets. The win marks the 19-year-old's first Grand Slam title and makes her the first American teenager to win the tournament since Serena Williams back in 1999. Well, despite her documented speed in defending shots across the baseline, Coco Gauff was overpowered by Sabalenka's strength in the first set. But the momentum shifted Gauff's way, and she came back to win the final two sets. And I think that they are saying that Sabalenka the Belarusian, she had 46 unforced errors, twice as many as Coco. Well, by the way, Coco's career launched at the age of 15 when she became the youngest qualifier in the Wimbledon history. And she reached her first final major final in last year's French Open, finishing as runner-up. Okay. Boy, we're jumping around topically. Hurricane Lee is churning in the Atlantic. It's been going... I think it started last Thursday or Friday, I think. And it's churning in the Atlantic Ocean all weekend, sitting as a Category 2 storm presently. It's located a few hundred miles north of Puerto Rico. The storm reached the Category 5 status late last week. And it has lost a bit of intensity as it encountered significant wind shear, which disrupted the system's circulation, the rotation. Well, Lee is currently headed toward the U.S. southeast, and models predict it will strengthen back into a Category 4 hurricane, but also turn northward, well short of the mainland sometime around Wednesday. Let's see here. There's another thing here. It says, meteorologists say the storm will make landfall along the upper U.S. East Coast. Depends. No. I did this wrong. Meteorologists say whether the storm will make landfall along the upper U.S. East Coast depends on a range of factors, including whether an incoming high-pressure ridge will nudge this system in a particular direction. By the way, Lee was the first Category 5 hurricane of the season. The season runs June 1 until the end of November. All right. Let's see here. Let me turn my page. Okay, Spanish soccer president Luis Rubiales, right? Resigns over ongoing investigations into misconduct at Women's World Cup final. Maybe he does have those kind of faults, I don't know. But what started all of this was that when, what was her name? She won the event. It doesn't matter. When she won the World Cup, he greeted her with a kiss. And that bothered a number of people. Okay. We also have word that Michigan State has suspended their head football coach, whose name is Mel Tucker. And I guess it's amid sexual harassment allegations. In the Basketball World Cup, Team USA has lost to Canada. Once again, we're talking about Basketball World Cup. And as a result, fails to medal for the second consecutive World Cup. Canada has won now the bronze, which is its first international men's basketball medal in 87 years. Okay. Yeah. Let's see here. Poor Things. That's a movie starring Emma Stone. Won the top prize at the Venice Film Festival. That's a big deal. And then in another story about showbiz, if you will, Fran Drescher, re-elected president of the Screen Actors Guild. But let's not forget that that actor's strike now is reaching its 59th day. Interesting. Science and technology. Federal officials have closed their probe into the April launch of SpaceX's Starship. But it goes on, will require more than 60 changes before approving the next test flight. As you may recall, and we've covered this several times, the first test flight passed maximum dynamic pressure during liftoff, but failed 4 minutes after launch. Okay. Okay, Microsoft. Yes, Microsoft has water bills. We here at the radio station have water bills. But this is an interesting item. It says Microsoft reports its water usage rose by 34% between the total for 21 and the total for 22. That's, you know, was a third larger than before. Are they nervous and drinking more out of the water fountains or what? No. It goes on, largely for the use in cooling data centers running AI training models. And it goes on, estimates find a half liter of water is needed to perform 5 to 50 questions, depending on variables. Well, okay, I'll just take it. Here's another science-type thing, and it says there's a recent study that suggests the existence of black holes in the, is it Hyades? Star cluster? I think that's how it's pronounced. These holes, if confirmed, the objects would be the closest black holes to Earth detected to date at roughly 150 light-years away. Okay, I need, Dom, for you to help me define a light year. I think I know what it is, but at the speed of light, which travels very fast, to be 150 light years away, that would be the speed of light for a year. Times 150, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, first, a light year is a unit of astronomical distance equivalent to the distance that light travels in 1 year,
right,
which is 9.4607 times 10 to the 12th power.
That part I can't get.
Kilometers, which okay. is nearly 6 trillion miles.
6 trillion miles.
So 150 would be,
oh my,
oh Lord.
Well, I'm not sure our calculator here has that ability.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, the closest black holes to Earth detected to date are at roughly 150 light years away. Okay. Let's see, there's a little headline here. It says, French billionaire François-Henri Pinault has acquired the majority stake of Hollywood talent firm Creative Artists Agency. How much did he spend to do it? $7 billion. Okay. The Internal Revenue Service. They have decided to use artificial intelligence to investigate potential tax violations by some business partnerships. Okay. Now, the 9/11 World Trade Center, that attack, we just talked about it a few minutes ago. But forgive me, I can't remember what year that was. Let's see if we can find that real quick. Quickly. Oh, dear.
Wait, what was it?
The World Trade Center and the Pentagon.
2001.
Okay, 2001. So 22 years ago? I guess yes. We can say that. Now, here it is, 22 years ago. But in today's news, the remains of two 9/11 victims of World Trade Center attack were identified just in the last few days, which brings the number of victims to 1,649. Oh, mercy, with over 1,000 still missing. Oh, my. Okay. The Perelman Performing Arts Center in New York is scheduled to open, I think today, in Lower Manhattan. At what was once Ground Zero, the location. Okay, going on. The G20 summit in India concluded yesterday with agreement to admit African Union as a member. Now, the next such summit is going to be hosted by Brazil, and that'll be in 2024. Let's see, other things. It says thousands of Dutch climate activists were arrested amid fossil fuel subsidy protests blocking highways. And one more headline, it says, at least 35 were killed in Sudan airstrike amid their civil war. That's we've been reporting on there. Oh, this is a weird story, and it's been going on for, since August 31st. There's this person, Danilo Cavalcante. I think I said that pretty closely right. He's an escaped murderer. And they've been searching for him since, I guess, August 31st. Well, now someone has caught a video of him on their camera, the door camera to their front house. I guess. You know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And that happened Saturday night, 12 miles northeast of Pennsylvania search area. And one of the things that this camera view caught is that he doesn't look like the former pictures of him. He's changed his appearance. I can't remember. I saw the pictures, the before and after sort of thing. I think he was bearded before, now he isn't. I think his hair was a different style, and now it isn't. Or then, you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
And just, he looks much different. Which is concerning, of course. Makes it harder to find him. All right. Well, you know, one of the things that could happen today is remembering 9/11. There is such immense and very sad collection of photographs of the World Trade Center, the Pentagon, and so on. And it is expected that many people today will get on the internet or whatever and look over some of those photos and so. Now, let's see. Someone's published a list of the best free tourist sites in every county and state. Don, we may have to look that up for maybe tomorrow's edition. Okay, here's another weird headline or et cetera statement. It says how weird objects end up in packaged food. Okay, now, all around the country, you've got different plants that make food, and they package it up. And a lot of them have machines and assembly lines. Assembly lines, that's not exactly right. That's more like for cars. But lines where, you know, there's a belt carrying
conveyor belt
the package down the line, and people are, well, okay. You get the point. But what if someone lost a ring? You know, or a wristwatch or whatever fell off their arm. Now, we have to assume they're wearing food gloves, right?
Yeah.
They certainly should be. Okay, so what if a button popped off a shirt? But evidently, somewhere there is a collection of photographs of weird objects that have been found in packaged food. That might be an interesting thing to look up, too.
There was, I mean, I guess you could say it was packaged food, but I remember seeing this on a show that I watch called Customer Wars, and this guy bought a, like, jar of peanuts, mm-hmm. and inside of the jar of peanuts, and he was taking a video, he goes, I kept this in my freezer for over a year, and no one believes me that it's in here. Opens it up, and in the middle of the peanuts, it's a dead rat's head.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, and he said, well, it came like this when I bought it. I was like, how does no one notice that's not in there?
And then, on the other hand, you know, how do you press that? And what I mean by that is, who's to say that he didn't place it in there and is trying to get some money out
of the
company that had manufactured the peanut butter? Anyway, you know, it's one of those things that...
I think it did say that the company reached out to him and wanted to... give him $50 and $50 and like okay. For a year he gets like free peanuts from okay. from that, but I believe it said he turned it down.
All right.
Yeah, so he was like, I'm never buying canned food again.
Here's been a little report. I'm not sure how important it is, but we'll mention it anyway. Someone has mapped a lot of the millionaires that live in our nation. and where their homes or their common homes are, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there are clusters. Now, you know, when I think about that, that doesn't surprise me. You know, you would think that near our major cities would be clusters of those people because offices are often located in those major cities, headquarters for different businesses and so on. But it still would be interesting to look at the map. But I don't have access to it. So maybe that's something we'll focus in on for tomorrow. I'll need your help. Okay, now, a hologram animal. It says a German circus is deploying hologram animals.
Oh, okay. Oh, God, I thought that was going somewhere else. I was like,
okay,
what?
Okay, now, I'm not up to, you know, I'm 74. I don't know all this stuff. What's a hologram?
It's a technique that enables a wavefront to be recorded and later reconstructed. It's a method of generating real three-dimensional images, but also has a wide range of other applications.
Okay.
The main thing I always see with holograms is, like, dead rock stars. Like, I always see, like, a band's going to get back together, but it's going
to
be...
Like Elvis Presley
Yeah. And it's the it's a hologram of them singing and doing the motions and stuff like that.
So how does it work? I mean, if you're sitting close to a stage and they have a hologram on stage of Elvis, let's say, if you took your hand and passed it through his figure, your hand would not be obstructed, right? It's not a solid object.
Yeah.
It's
basically just lights.
A 3D video kind of image.
Yeah, like something coming out of a projector, pretty much.
And yet, for an image to be reflected, it has to hit something. Do they fog the stage up? What?
That I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know too much about it. I just know I always hear them saying, there's going to be holograms of so-and-so, and they're going out on tour with it, and it's like, okay, that's kind of weird.
Okay. Well, in other one-liners, we have this. Texas natives least likely to leave their state. Okay, I think that's interesting.
Yeah, I believe that.
Yeah. So, you know, someone that's, of all the states, the 50 states, if you will, those born in Texas are the least likely to move elsewhere later in life, I guess. Okay. Well, I guess we've covered that stuff pretty well. Let's see if there's any headlines we've missed. It's 9:52 almost, so we have about 8 minutes left. By the way, let me just update my map here. When we started the show, it was 61 degrees outside. It's now 66. And some of the fog is lifted, but not all of it. By the way, they say around 3 to 5 this afternoon will be our high, which will be 82 degrees. And then overnight, the low will be 57. Actually, that's at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning, but throughout the night, like in the upper 50s. All right. Morocco, again, that terrible earthquake. And this headline simply says, many Moroccans must fend for themselves. Okay. These first three or four items we've already mentioned. Okay, I don't understand this. With straws, gourds, and tea in tow, Syrians spread their love of mate, M-A-T-E, with a tilde over it. They go on, the strong, grassy South American tea was popular in Syria even before the war began there 12 years ago. It goes on, as millions of people were internally displaced, they shared it around the country. So I guess this is a tea I'm not familiar with, that because of their dilemma, has become popular. Okay. In the New York Times op-ed section, that's opinion section, I should say, an editorial, there's concern about how the president and Congress should fix the immigration crisis in our cities. Now, New York is struggling, but we're hearing about other cities, too. The immigration factor into our nation. I mean, I want to welcome everybody, but there's a cost in doing so. And these people don't have jobs instantly. And so they're, well, it's problematic. And yet America's always boasted how they welcome people into our borders. I think the administration, regardless of who's president, regardless who's in Congress, they need to really work diligently on this issue. All right, let's see what else. Visiting Hanoi, our president, President Biden, cemented a new strategic partnership that puts the memories of the past behind them and focuses on mutual concerns over Beijing's assertiveness in the region. Okay. Russia's merchant of death is looking to forge a new life in politics. So, who are we talking about? Victor Bout, B-O-U-T, Victor A. Bout, who is a convicted arms trafficker. And this story says he doesn't have much flair for real politicking, but his celebrity may compensate for that in regional elections. A little bit scary. Okay, over in the United Kingdom, we have a story that says more than 100 schools have had to shut or close areas off because of dangerous, lightweight concrete, leaving many parents, especially those with children that have special needs, scrambling for care. Okay, how could that have happened? That a construction company was not required to use a high-grade concrete in building public buildings And especially for children, for schools. And so now, you know, there's an issue of stress and weight bearing, and could these buildings collapse? And so they've had to close many, more than 100. I just can't believe, you know, sometimes I hear different people say, you know, the construction requirements here in the U.S. are so overbearing or whatever. I don't know the term at the moment, but you don't hear about much of that sort of problem here. Well, anyway, be that what as it may. You know, one more bit about Danilo Cavalcante. We talked about him earlier. He's the guy that is wanted. He's escaped from a U.S. prison. He's also facing a murder charge in Brazil. And Brazil wants to get him under their thumbs and have the trial. So why wasn't he deported? That's the general question. Folks, we are out of time. Unless something changes, we're going to have another free-for-all tomorrow. Don, I appreciate your help. And
no problem.
We've got other stories to share tomorrow. So take care out there, folks. Be safe, please.
In our 73rd year of serving Southeast Ohio, AM 970 and 97.3 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington, where a remembrance ceremony took place this morning at the Pentagon, 22 years after the September 11th attack.
Sarah.